I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Matthew. We're going to be looking at the 22nd chapter, verses 35 through 40 this morning as we open up God's Word with one another. Matthew writes, "One of them, a lawyer, asked Jesus a question to test him. Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." So this is the first Sunday of the year, and this is probably the best scripture for us to open with, you know, to remind us what the central core of the gospel is about. And as we look into this new year, as people think about what they've done last year, what they want to do this year, the real important question isn't what do you want to do this year, but is what does God expect of you? What does God want? Do you know? That's a question that every person has to answer. Because we believe that there is a God and that He is sovereign over all things, including our lives. So we need to know what God wants from us. So that's very important for us to know as Christians how to live our lives. And I think if we knew that, it would change a lot of things. It would change your attitude as you drive. It would change the checks that you write, the charge cards that you use. Maybe you change the websites that you visit. So let me ask you again, do you know what God wants from you? Because we all need to know. And as we answer this question, we always, of course, look to Jesus. Because we need to be interested in what Jesus had to say about what God expects to us more than anything else. And so Jesus was asked straight up, which of the commandments from God, which is the most important? And probably at the time for many people, there wasn't an easy question to answer. If you open up your Bibles, you, at the very beginning, you enter into the Law of Moses. It's five books long. Not all of them contain laws, but certainly they're all things that we have to pay attention to. They open up, they tell a story about what pleases God. And so we read through there and we find the Ten Commandments. And God says, don't steal, because stealing hurts people. People that love stealing destroys community. Don't commit murder, because that kills people that I love. The rabbis at one time counted up all of these commands in the Law of Moses. And there were 613 commandments in the law. 613. And so it was an ongoing debate which of these 613 commandments was the most important. What was the core of it all? Is it more important not to steal? Is it more important not to murder? Which commandment, if you get it right, means that you pretty much are going to get everything else right? That you're living according to the will of God and doing what pleases Him. And so as we read, one day a guy who had his advanced doctorate, if you will, in the law, came to God and posed this question to Him. He wasn't interested in so much in an answer as he was in winning. Kind of like a lot of current debate. We're not interested in understanding. We just want our side to win. So he says, what's your take? What's the greatest commandment? And Jesus doesn't hesitate. He answers him immediately. The most important commandment is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart and mind and soul, with all of your strength. And we understand that. The most important thing is to love God with everything that you've got, not to hold back at all. Our entire lives should be a gift of love to God. And then Jesus says that there's a second commandment that's the second most important commandment, right? How does that even work? Here's the most important, and here's another most important commandment. love your neighbor as yourself. Kind of tacks that on there. But it's not really a tack on. He's saying it's part of the same thing. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do you know what God wants from you more than anything? Love. There it is. I've just simplified it for you. Love. It all comes down to love. That's what God cares about more than anything. It's what He thinks is central. It's what He commands us to do, as if it can be commanded. If it's something that you can do against your will. See, it's not just love for God. It's not love for God if you can ignore the needs of people around you. The two most important commandments go hand in hand. They go together, right hand and left hand. When you love God and love other people, then you've just offered up the one sacrifice that God finds to be pleasing. He asks for nothing else from us. So get this and you've got it all. Love God and love the people around you. Now, this is simple. This is basic stuff. Most of us have been in church and we've heard this over and over again. So this is, and it's good, right? That's the good news, to love. But there's bad news as well. I mean, the good news is that what God offers us, what God asks of us, is equal opportunity. It's something that anybody can do, no matter how much education or how little education you have, no matter how much money you have, whether you have a lot or a little, no matter what you look like, no matter what you've gone through, we can all please God because we can all love Him and love others. The bad news is, as easy as it sounds, it's not all that easy to do. In fact, the matter is, a lot of times we don't do it. God commands us to do it. Jesus calls us to do it. But we know within ourselves that our love for God has some conditions. It has some limits. We really don't love God with all of our heart and mind and strength and soul. Instead, we love Him with some of our heart and some of our strength and some of our mind, with a fraction, a portion of ourselves, of our strength. And the rest we keep for ourselves. And the reality is that we have these deep-seated pockets of rebellion in our hearts where we resist God. We resist His grace. We resist His love. We resist His command. And we do not surrender to Him in love. We love to some extent, but we hold in reserve. We hold Him out of certain areas. So maybe for you it's your kids or your grandkids. God can have any part of you, but if something happens to your kids or to your grandkids, and God has stepped over the line and you're not sure if you can trust Him anymore. Or consider money. That's probably the one that from back through time is the hardest one. I once saw a cartoon that was simply entitled Baptism. And it shows a picture of a person being baptized and they are completely submerged except for one hand. They've got one hand being held out of the water and in that hand is their wallet. Baptized everything but their wallet. Why do we find it so hard to do what Jesus says and to love Him with all of our heart and mind and strength and soul? Every week there's an act of confession that each of us must make. It's not simply honest for us to say to God, you know what, God, I have not loved You with all that I am and all that I have. So the question, how do we increase our devotion? How do we give God maybe 65% of our heart rather than just 45%? Or 80% rather than just 65%? And you know, I've been thinking about that, and I want you to think about how you can grow in your love for God. And it's very simple. It's just to say yes. To say yes to God. To let that be your one and total prayer. To say yes to God. But yeah, well, you're asking, what am I saying yes to? You know? One of the ways that I like to have fun with people when I recruit them for something, I say, hey, look, the answer is yes. Do you want to hear the question? You know? And if you've already decided that the answer is going to be yes, you've got to be careful about listening to the question. Maybe that's why some of us don't read our Bibles as much as we should. We don't want to hear the stuff that we've got to say yes to. In order to know the answer to that question, you've got to listen to God. You've got to get into His Word, but more than anything, you've got to open up your ears. And that doesn't come easy for us. The normal lives that all of us live are busy lives, and we're distracted, and we're oftentimes so fatigued that it's nearly impossible to find the time and to spend the energy to listen to God. And so you'll end up with nothing to say yes to. But here's what happens when we slow down and we really listen to God. The first thing that'll happen is you'll hear Him say, I love you. I love you. I know everything about you, and I love you. I know the darkness and the light. I know the good and the bad. I know the evil thoughts, and I know it all, and I love you. And that's what we need to hear, because a lot of people have, maybe all of us have, in some ways, recordings that go on in our heads, you know, and when we get quiet, we have to listen to those voices, and sometimes those voices are the voices of parents telling us that we're not quite good enough. Or sometimes they're the voice of bosses telling us we're not quite good enough, or peers, or a lot of times it's our own voice telling us you're not good enough. Instead of hearing, I love you, we hear, you're such a screw up. Maybe those are the same kind of junky MP3s that are playing in your head. Maybe that's what you heard from your parents, but it's not what you hear from God. When God talks to you, He talks to you in love. Even when He corrects you, and He will correct you, He always does it in love. When you hear God say, I love you, your answer is yes. With your will, you open up your heart and you say to Him, yes, God, I hear you. And I receive that. I accept that. I choose not to give in to my natural self-hatred or my natural self-absorption or my natural doubt about myself. But I choose to say yes to your love for me. And when you say yes to God's love for you, you'll find it a bit easier to do the second commandment, which is really the hard one. Love your neighbor as yourself. Richard said in his offertory prayer, help us to love the world, which is often so unlovable. Help us to love people in our lives who are sometimes unlovable. Richard, you didn't think I listened to your prayer, man, but I did, you know? It's easy to love someone who's lovable, but the hard part is to love those that aren't all that lovable. But when you experience that kind of unconditional love, the love that God has for you, when you're not very lovable, then it makes it a little bit easier to pass that love on to others. God fills us with His Spirit and fills us with His love, and we surprise ourselves because we find ourselves able to love people in a way that we couldn't before. When you understand how much God loves you and how much God loves others, then it makes it a little bit easier to enter into that love that God has. and you understand that God's forgiven your junk, you can forgive somebody else theirs. When God's been patient with you, when it's taken you longer than it should for you to grow in Christ, then you can be patient with that person in your family or your job or whatever who's stuck and immature. It's really uncanny, but that's how it works. When you accept how much God loves you, then loving others, your capacity just seems to grow. And you'll find yourself serving in ways that you've never imagined. I thought about this morning. I'll share this story. It's not a huge thing, but last night I was getting ready for bed. And as I was getting ready for bed, I saw that there were some dress shirts that I'd gotten for Christmas that I had intended to iron so I could wear one today. Give you all a fresh shirt for once, right? But I was tired and I was getting ready for bed. And, you know, and it's one of those things where you see, just as you're getting ready for bed and you see something you wanted to do and you thought, So I grabbed the shirts and I went downstairs and I grabbed the ironing board. And Pam came out and saw me and she goes, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm going to iron these dress shirts, you know." She says, "But you're tired. You got a big day tomorrow. You're tired. You need to go to bed." And it'll take me but a minute. And Pam says, "Tell you what. I'm tired too, so I won't do it now. But if you'll wear something else tomorrow, I promise I'll iron your shirts." Now, she's not here, and I know you're going to tell her this, but she knows it. Pam don't iron shirts, all right? I think it was within the first year of our marriage that she said, "I ain't doing this, you know, so either I do it myself or I take it to the dry cleaners and I let them do it." She doesn't iron shirts, all right? But she said, "If you'll go to bed now, I'll promise you I'll do it." Now, there's a part of me that said, nah, I'll just go ahead and do it. But I realized in that moment that Pam, one of her love languages is service, you know. That there was a part of her that really needed to do this. So I said, okay. So I put the ironing board away and I went up to bed and Pam stayed up to do some things. When I got up this morning, guess what I found? 3 iron shirts. How's it look? All right? You look all right? I'll appreciate that, huh? See, Pam doesn't like the iron shirts. Nobody likes the iron shirts. Y'all like the iron shirts? Nobody likes the iron. You like the iron shirts? I'm sending my shirts to you, all right? That's my love thing for you, is I'll send my shirts to you. Pam doesn't like the iron shirts, but she did it because of love. And that's just a small way of illustrating that when you say yes to God, when you say yes to the love that He puts in your life, you'll end up not only loving Him more, but you'll also end up loving others more. So once again, I start off being personal, let me end personal. What's God saying to you? What's God asking of you? For some of you, your pulse is kind of pounding right now because you know exactly what God has been asking of you, and you're not sure if you can say yes to Him. You're not sure that you can say to Him, "Yes, God, I will love you with all of my heart and all my strength and all my soul and all my mind." You're not sure that you can say yes to giving Him everything that you've got, because you know when you say yes to Him, well, there's a lot of implications. And I want to say to you, I want to say to all of us, myself included, when you say yes to God, you find the ability to not only love Him more, but to love others more. You grow in your love for Him and for neighbor. In the middle of Italy in the year 1205, 24-year-old man, future ahead of him, riding a horse when he saw something in the distance that scared him to death. He saw a man contagious with leprosy. Skin was half gone, his face was disfigured, and the smell was so bad that the young man wanted to hold his nose and turn his horse around. But instead, that young man, whose name was Francis, remembered what God had said to him in prayer. One day in prayer, God said to him, "Francis, the things that used to make you shudder will bring you great sweetness and contentment." And so Francis got off his horse and he pulled some money out and he put some coins in the leper's hands, and then he put his arms around the leper and he kissed him on the cheek. He said yes to God. And that's the great Francis of Assisi, and he now, his legacy continues even in the United States. He created an explosion of love that is still blasting outward, and it reaches all the way into our world. See, that's the power of yes in your life. So we gather around the Lord's table on this first Sunday of the month. And this table represents Jesus' yes to God, right? Lord, this is not what I want, but if this is what you want, then my answer is yes. And so we gather around this table and we share the bread that symbolizes his brokenness, and we share the cup that symbolizes our forgiveness, that washes away our sin. And let this be our yes to God for this next year. Let's gather around the Lord's table.